So this is a very nice incident from the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This incident will illustrate how Lord Shiva and Krishna are connected nicely. Listen. So this is Narada Muni, and the scene is the Rajasuya sacrifice. The Rajasuya sacrifice is when Yudhishthira invited Krishna to come. Yudhishthira, Krishna and Bhima had just conquered Jarasandha. Jarasandha was killed by Bhima. So, after that, Yudhishthira performed the Rajasuya sacrifice, establishing himself as the supreme emperor. And he specifically wanted Krishna to attend. And it was at that time, Yudhishthira's younger brother, Sahadev, stood up, because there is a part in the sacrifice called Agra Pooja. Somebody is selected in the assembly to be the first person honored and worshipped. Now in this sacrifice were great rishis, brahmins, and demigods. So this is not some ordinary function, right? These are the heads of state of the universe. Sahadev stood up and said, "There are many great sages, brahmins, rishis, demigods, but in my opinion, the first person to be worshipped should be Krishna." Everybody agreed except Shishupal. And Shishupal went on a tirade, blaspheming Krishna. And the audience was getting very agitated, and some of the kshatriyas were getting ready with their swords. There was going to be a fight. Krishna could see. So Krishna took out his Sudarshan Chakra. Shishupal's head was cut off. The Shishupal Atma, like a meteor, left his body and entered the body of Krishna. Yudhishthira was like, whoa. Because everybody saw it. Everybody saw the Atma of Shishupal like a meteor enter the body of Krishna, Yudhishthira. And Yudhishthira was sitting next to Narada Muni. What was that? What, can you explain? That's the entire seventh canto, is Narada answering Yudhishthira's inquiry. Towards the end, Narada tells Yudhishthira a wonderful incident about Lord Shiva. Are you ready to hear? Narada Muni said, "When the demigods, who are always powerful by the mercy of the Lord, when they fought with the asuras, the demons were defeated, and therefore they took shelter of Mayadhanava, the greatest of the demons. Mayadhanava, the great leader of the demons, prepared three invincible residences and gave them to the demons. These dwellings resembled airplanes made of gold, silver, and iron, and they contained uncommon paraphernalia. My dear King Yudhishthira, because of these three dwellings, the commanders of the demons remained invisible to the demigods." You imagine, if your enemy is invisible, you're finished, aren't you? "Taking advantage of this opportunity, the demons, remembering their former enmity, began to vanquish the three worlds, the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Thereafter, when the demons had begun to destroy the higher planetary systems, the rulers of those planets went to Lord Shiva. They fully surrendered unto him and said, 'Dear Lord, we demigods living in the three worlds are about to be vanquished. We are your followers. Kindly save us.' The most powerful and able Lord Shiva reassured them and said, 'Do not be afraid.' He then fixed his arrows to his bow and released them toward the three residences occupied by the demons. The arrows released by Lord Shiva appeared like fiery beams emanating from the sun globe and covered the three residential airplanes, which could then no longer be seen. Attacked by Lord Shiva's golden arrows, all the demoniac inhabitants of those three dwellings lost their lives and fell down. Then the great mystic Mayadhanava dropped the demons into a nectarian well that he had created. When the dead bodies of the demons came in touch with the nectar, their bodies became invincible to thunderbolts. Endowed with great strength, they got up like lightning-penetrating clouds. Seeing Lord Shiva very much aggrieved and disappointed, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, considered how to stop this nuisance created by Mayadhanava. So you can imagine, Lord Shiva destroys the three airplanes. They die. Mayadhanava says, watch this. Takes all the dead bodies, throws them in the well, they come back to life. And now they're even more powerful. As it says, invincible to thunderbolt. The thunderbolt is the ultimate weapon. So now Shiva's thinking, what am I going to do now? How can I top that? So listen, then Lord Brahma became a calf. Lord Vishnu became a cow. And at noon, they entered the residences and drank all the nectar in the well. Don't you just love it? The demons could see the calf and cow, but because of the illusion created by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demons could not forbid them. In other words, the demons could have killed, right, the cow or calf, although they weren't able to kill Vishnu. But they could have attacked, right? But notice, because of the illusion. So this means Krishna's got a potency. He can completely disable, disarm you. Because of the illusion, they just let it happen. The calf and cow were drinking the nectar. Mayadhanava became aware and he could understand this was the unseen power of providence. Providence means the hand of God. Providence means supersoul. Providence means fate. Sometimes there's nothing you can do. Your fate is your fate. You lose sometimes. Providence is like that. So, Mayadhanava, obviously, he's got great mystic powers. In order to have those great mystic powers, he also must be very advanced in consciousness. He could understand this to be the unseen power of providence. Thus, he spoke to the demons who were grievously lamenting, because that was their last hope, right? The nectar. Listen to what Mayadhanava says. What has been destined by the Supreme Lord for oneself, for others, or for both oneself and others, cannot be undone anywhere by anyone, whether one be a demigod, a demon, a human being, or anyone else. You all know better than me from Ramayana. Rake Krishna, Mareke. Right? You've heard of that? Mare Krishna, Rakeke, right? Did I say it right? No? Yes? Maybe? Did I say it right? I'll say it in English. Because my Hindi, I'm not Hindi. Is that what I said? So did I pass the examination? Whenever Krishna wants to kill, nobody can protect. And whoever Krishna wants to protect, nobody can kill. Same thing. Mayadhanava is saying the same thing. Providence. I explained. What is providence? Providence means the hand of God, super soul, your fate. Right? If it's your fate, nobody's going to change it. If you are protected by God, don't worry. Things are going to happen to you. Arjuna. Okay. Shishi Radha Raman Bhagavan Ki. Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Krishna showed him universal form. When at that stage, Arjuna saw all the Kauravas entering the mouth of the universal form. And when Arjuna asked the universal form, who are you? What is your mission? The universal form said, time I am. And I have come to destroy everyone. Like my Bollywood? So, universal form said, look, Arjuna, they're already killed by my arrangement. I just want you to be the instrument in the fight. That's all. I want to give the credit. Krishna's cool. Krishna could have done it himself on the battlefield. Krishna could have gone on the battlefield just with a blink of his eye. All right, they're all dead. But Krishna's cool. He wants the battle to be fought. 18 days. Krishna could have done it in 1 second. Bam, finish. All right, let's go. Rasa dance. No, he wanted Arjuna to get the credit. He wanted there to be 18 days, a Mahabharat, so that people can make a movie and lots of money afterwards. So he said to Arjuna, they're already killed. I just want you to take credit. That's all. So his destiny was there. All he had to do was agree to it. What has been destined by the Supreme Lord for oneself, for others, or for both oneself and others cannot be undone anywhere by anyone. Just like you can go to a doctor. You can go to the best doctor. But sometimes the doctor says, we tried everything, we couldn't do it. And my favorite quote, I went to the doctor in 1996. I'd just gotten back from India and I had this bronchitis. So I went to a doctor and I said to the doctor, how much does the medical profession know? He said, 20%. I went, what? 20%? Doc, that's an F grade. 20%. So we don't know that much, do we? No. No offense to doctors. So you can do everything. But if the hand of God is not, you know, Krishna's got the thumbs up, thumb down. All right, let's finish this. Thereafter, Lord Krishna, by his own personal potency, consisting of religion, knowledge, renunciation, opulence, austerity, education, and activities, equipped Lord Shiva with all the necessary paraphernalia. So this is how it's... See how nice Krishna is? Now he's coming to serve Lord Shiva. Right? Look what he's giving him. He gave him a charioteer, flag, horses, elephants, bow, shield, and arrows. He got this from Krishna. I don't know about you and me. Krishna's not giving us any of these things, right? Yes, but I'm saying, look what he's doing for Lord Shiva. Obviously, Lord Shiva must be a nice confidential devotee. Same way, who did Krishna drive the chariot for? Not Duryodhan. Arjun. Why? Because he was devotee. So obviously he's helping Lord Shiva because Lord Shiva is best devotee. Equipped with this way, Lord Shiva sat down on the chariot with his arrows and bows to fight with the demons. The most powerful Lord Shiva joined the arrows to his bow and at noon set fire to all three residences of the demons and destroyed them. Shiva Ranga Bhagavan Ki. The inhabitants of the higher planetary system beat many kettle drums. The demigod saints, pittas, siddhas, and various great personalities showered flowers on the head of Lord Shiva, wishing him all victory. And the apsaras began to chant and dance with great pleasure. O King Yudhishthir, thus Lord Shiva is known as Tripurari. Everyone say, the annihilator of the three dwellings of the demons, because he burnt these dwellings to ashes. Being worshipped by the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva returned to his own abode. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.